Hello and welcome to Beyond the Bio. Stay tuned this week to hear my conversation with Amber Keegan-Stobbs, who is the Newcastle United women's team captain. Amber is a lifelong fan of Newcastle United, arriving in the Northeast in the summer of 2023. She's the team's on-pitch skipper and brings so much to the team. I've seen her in action many times and think she's an absolute legend on and off the pitch. Starting her career in Washington Spirit in the United States, Amber has a catalogue of experience across numerous divisions, including the Women's Super League, the Championship, and the FA Women's National League Southern Premier Division. Amber has represented so many different women's teams within various leagues before captaining Newcastle United to FA Women's National League Northern Premier Division title success last term. This is a super interesting conversation for me for so many reasons. I'm a big Newcastle United fan myself, and I've got to know Amber over the last year or so, and she's got some brilliant stories, some of which we are going to delve into today. So let's work out where personal branding fits in with women's football and get stuck in. Hello and welcome to Beyond the Bio. Amber, it's great to have you on the show.
Oh, thank you for having me on the show.
There's so much that we can talk about that links personal branding and sport and football and all the cool stuff that you've done. And I know a few of your really exciting stories, so I'm going to make sure that you share those with us today. But just to ease us in, can you tell us a bit about your journey to becoming captain of Newcastle United women's team? What's the story behind how you got there?
Oh God, it's a long story. I've had a lot of clubs, but try and keep it short for you. I grew up in South London. My dad's a Geordie. My mum's a Londoner. I love football. We've got a very football family. I've got an older brother who, like, I feel, as well as my parents, love for football. Like, kicking around with him in the garden and growing up with him definitely helped me get into football. I started playing for a boys' team when I was six. It was called Purley Panthers. Shout out to them. The next team was called Hamsey Rangers. The names just really cracked me up. I played with boys on Sundays up until 11, so 6 to 11. And at the same time, when I was 7, I joined a girls' team, Crystal Palace, and just been playing football since then, really. Played for mainly in Championship. I went to America on a scholarship to play football.
Amazing. So I was there. Whereabouts in America?
New York.
Oh, New York. Amazing. Yeah. My favourite place ever in the whole world.
It is class. We weren't in the city. We were on Long Island. I went to school called Hofstra. Got a degree whilst playing and just like life experiences that I would never be able to put a value on. It was amazing. So I did that, then came back, played WSL for Reading. An interesting year. I then basically avoided WSL contracts. Three of them I walked away from because I was like, that's not for me. I had a really tough year at Reading. And I think I was at the time looking a little bit externally. There was definitely external things that didn't help. But I've played in Championship for, I think this will be my 7th or 8th year. I'm sure someone will fact check me. But yeah, played professionally here for some years now. And now I'm at Newcastle, which I think is meant to be. My name's Amber Keegan. First name's Amber Keegan, after Kevin Keegan. My dad has love for him.
I was super fan.
Born in 1992.
Have you met Kevin Keegan?
I have, yeah.
Did you tell him?
I went to his book thing. Yeah, well, I was not going to tell him. And then who I was with, Pete Graves, was like, oh, by the way, she's... And I was like, oh, no, this is getting creepy now. But he signed a book to Amber Keegan and stuff like that. 1992, I was born. And that is the year he came back to manage, like his second kind of hero era at Newcastle.
Amazing. Tell us about, because I love talking about networking and how people connect with each other, and linked to your journey to get into Newcastle United is very much a local hero and some networking that you did with him. You've got to tell us that story, Amber.
Yeah, so I was playing for Charlton at the time. It was my birthday. I scored a goal and who we were playing were like, that didn't cross the line, but it did. So I've like ran away, celebrated like Alan Shearer basically. And so I tweeted it at the time, was like celebrating my goal like Alan Shearer. And then he liked it or retweeted it. And then we just followed each other. And I already obviously followed him, but he saw that I was a Newcastle fan, I think, and that I was playing freshly, like just followed it. And then since then, there'd been things where I don't normally actually ask people, like, can you reshare this? But it was a charity thing, and I thought, he's got a few followers, and he's an absolute legend, so would you mind sharing this? And he did. And then one day I was just like, just really want to play for Newcastle Women's. How do I make that happen? And I just thought, you know what? Like, screw it. So I actually messaged him because we'd already linked and networked on Twitter. And I was just like, how do I play for the Newcastle before I hang up my boots? Absolute dream of mine. I just want that name on the back of a black and white shirt. Just kind of thinking, he's probably not going to see it. And he just was like, well, where there's a will, there's a way. And I was like, well, definitely got to make it happen. And I put in a few things. And I was like, I'm a Newcastle fan, playing professionally in London, but the dream is Newcastle. And then he just said, leave it with me. But again, you know, when you're like, I can't believe he's even replied. And then, yeah, he actually got Becky, our manager's number, text her. And I remember the way she tells the story, you'll have to ask her because it is funny. She was like, it's a rainy night. She was coaching. It was like 9:30. Her Apple Watch goes off and it said like, hi, Becky, I've got a player that's interested. Thought I'd reach out. She's currently playing here. And I think he might have signed it like Al. And she at the time was like, Al, like, and then she realised it was Alan Shearer and she was like, what the hell? Then he replied to me a few days later and forwarded the message she sent, said she was going to get in touch. So then I think me and Becky linked over on Twitter and here I am. So thank you, Alan Shearer, for not only being my childhood football hero, but absolutely making my life. I did meet him and I said to him, I was like, you were my hero before, but honestly, you've made my life. I know me, I would have found a way, but...
He must love that as well, though, because he's done that. He's followed through with it for you. And then here's the result. And you're now, you know, captain of the team.
Oh, no, honestly. Yeah, when I signed, they did a really cool video at the stadium and stuff. And, like, I met with Newcastle. We didn't make it happen that year. And I told him, like, God, I couldn't make it happen this year, but hopefully it happens in the future. Then the year later, I remember I messaged him and I was literally like, it's happening. I'm going to play for Newcastle. He was like, that's class. I was like, honestly, wait. And then I sent him the signing video and was like...
Oh, I've got goosebumps.
Yeah, and I even sent him a message saying thank you when I was made captain because I was like, I cannot put into words how grateful I was for the link up, which is so funny because I'm like, it's only me would do that, you know? Like, I'm just like, there's a way and I'll find it.
Good for you. That's such a cool little story. People are going to love that story. It's brilliant. Thinking about kind of where you're at now, where your profile is and thinking about your brand... Do you think that being a strong leader and having a strong personal brand go hand in hand? And how have you built Amber Keegan Stobbs as the brand?
Yeah, I feel like I just have been myself in every situation, to be honest. I think people that know me, people that have met me, I have people that go like, you don't change no matter what situation you're in. I'm very much me. And I think that's to do with the work that I've done on myself, like my journey, mental health and things like that. I lived behind a mask for so long when I was really ill with my mental health. And I guess at the age of like, well, I'm 32 now, but at the age of like 28 or something, I was like, I don't have a mask. I don't even have one if I'm meeting, like no disrespect to people, like if I'm meeting like yourself or when I was meeting, like I'm just the same, just like authentic is probably my way of being, which when I'm speaking to people, they're like, it's quite rare. And I'm like, really? Like, I was thinking as well, you should have met me years ago. Absolutely not. You wouldn't have seen the real me because it was terrible. But I haven't actually thought like, right, I'm me. How do I build my brand and stuff like that? I've just kind of gone about my days or my ways as I naturally would.
And how do you think people would describe you? You know, if we were sat with Becky and she was describing
I wouldn't want to put words in her mouth, but she... Yeah, I just don't know. I think I'm quite individual, and I know people that normally say they're individual aren't. But I think I'm just hard. Well, I don't know, honestly.
Hardworking.
Hardworking, yeah. But I was going to say I'm hard to sum up. I'd say authentic. I'd like a laugh.
You're coming across as very driven, you know, you talk about... You know,
yeah, I think she'd say that. I just honestly am not, like, I don't know. I don't know.
Well, it's
how
blank page.
Everyone can listen to this and put their words in it.
You can create the next, you know, the next chapter for sure. This is a question on my mind. So in team sports, so think about football, how do you balance the team's identity? Because everyone's got this perception, especially of a club like Newcastle. How do you balance the team identity with building your own? You know, does that get ignored when you're part of the team and it's all about the team? Or can you all be your individual selves within that?
Yeah, I think we're quite big on it and I'm very big on it myself. We want everyone in the environment to feel like they can be themselves and bring them as they are that day. Now, obviously, that makes it sound like if someone's not in the mood, don't be in the mood. It's not that, but own that you might not be in a good mood and we'll help you through the day. I really don't want anyone to be living in a way that doesn't feel true to them. So be your own individual self, be authentic, be real. I think because we have that, and I like to spread that about, and I think everyone just sort of is that accepting, like it's easier to accept someone as their real self than it is where someone's struggling to be themselves, you know. But I do fully understand why people wouldn't, and I've been in that place and stuff like that. But I think we do celebrate everyone's individuality and embrace it, and we know that that sometimes makes a better team.
Yeah, and it's creating that environment where people feel safe to do that.
Yeah, I think so. And I think with that, the way that you do it is encourage vulnerability. I'm a big fan of Brené Brown, and looking at some of her work changed my life, where it's like vulnerability is a courage. You can't be courageous without showing that sort of vulnerable side. So I'm big on that. So there's been times when I joined the team and I said to Becky, like, can I speak to the team? And kind of opened up and said, like, look, normally when I join a team, obviously Google me, probably one of the first things that comes up is like a mental health story or things like that. And I made a decision to share it when I was at Palace, when I'd come back after having a year out. I thought was retiring at the time. It was very emotional. I was like, I'm done with the game. And then a year later, I was like, I'm back in the game, like playing Mickey Flanagan. I'm always like, I don't want it to be the elephant in the room with anyone. Like, I know it's not a big, bad thing, but just to let everyone know, I'm very much myself and everyone has struggles and I really understand that, and kind of encourage people to either get help or talk about it. I know what it's like to live in silence and it's awful. I know what it's like to be behind that mask. Like, if there's anyone here, just take that pressure off. And if you need anything, you can speak to me, share some of my stuff. And it was like standing up and speaking to people about it. And I think we've had quite a few of those moments since then. And I don't know if that's whether down to me or we've just created that environment. I think people would have done it anyways if I didn't do it. But yeah, we've got a really good environment for that. And I think that then allows everyone to be themselves.
It sounds really, really positive. So think about women's football more generally. Obviously, it's getting more visibility, as it should, but there's still a long way to go. How important do you think it is for players like yourself to use your platform to drive change?
Yeah, massive. And I think we're really big at that at Newcastle. Like, it is all about playing for that legacy. Obviously, we want results, we want performances, but always reflecting. And Becky's really big on that. And our environment is like what we're actually doing for women's football in general, especially women's football in the Northeast, because it's come a long way. And even though I sound like this, that's one of my biggest passions, is changing women's football in the Northeast and what's around for young girls, showing them that there is opportunities out there and there is a club taking it very seriously and supporting us, and kind of being part of that journey is what's really important. Because I think, especially growing up in the 90s playing football, I could see the massive differences, you know. I was fortunate with some of the clubs I played with, but there was no girls' Sunday football. It was like my parents driving an hour and 40 minutes to get me to Arsenal from the age of 9 to 15. But that was because of, I guess, at that age I was good. But also, girls' football was very far places. Like I said, I joined Palace when I was 7, but they only had an under-12s team. So I was playing 5 years up. And there's been girls up here, I think, that were playing as teenagers for the women's team because there was no female football and stuff like that. So I think using our platform to make a difference, I think if you don't do it, it's sort of a wasted opportunity and it's not really, well, just do good. Mm. Do good with what you have.
And do you feel a responsibility to be a role model?
Yes, I do feel responsibility. I don't think of myself as a role model, if I'm being honest. Not because I'm not one, but like I said, where you say like about building the brand and what I'm doing, like I genuinely just do it because I like doing it. I do these sort of things because of I really like meeting people and I'm interested in that, and it all just happens. I don't ever do anything that I feel like, oh, like I don't want to do that. It just, next thing you know, oh, you've done this, that's made a difference, you know. And I'm like, well, I hope it has. But a lot of the time I'm like not picking and choosing what I do for my purpose. I'm just like, that feels right, I'm doing it. But yeah, I think it's when you get the feedback or you get the little comments about like our fans are amazing, when you just I was at the Stack on Sunday and me and my teammate had about 3 different dads that came up to us and was like, can I get a photo? And it was just us and the dad, but then you could see them feeling the need to be like, my daughter. And they were like showing us pictures of them at games. So like one of them had a picture of me and his daughter like in his photo album, was like, that was at that game. And I was just like, this is class. not because they've got that photo, but just because there's little girls that, and he's like, they absolutely love coming to the games. I actually went to a place after the game yesterday with my parents to eat, and we were trying to watch the Liverpool Man City game, and there was no seats where we could sit down and see screens, but then we saw someone there opposite, like three lads, and they must have been like 20. And these seats were right under the screen opposite, so it was like, why would we sit there? But there were screens on the other side, so I went over and was like, excuse me, are these seats being used? And they were like, no. Now, I've got this accent, so I'm like, they're probably thinking, like, why are you here? And why do you want to sit opposite? And it was like that weird thing where me and my parents sat in a row of three opposite three lads drinking pints that were 20. But we're there to watch football as well. And then I was there and I was like, right, I have a lime and soda and I'm going to get some food, but I just wanted to maintain health. So I was like, the menu wasn't, you know, crying out loads of healthy stuff.
And so then... Where's this in the stack?
No, somewhere else in town. And then this guy came over in front of these three lads, a different guy, and was like, excuse me, is it Amber? And I was like... But this doesn't happen very often. And like, again, I'm cringing that I'm even telling you this, but it's just part of the story. And then I was like, oh, yeah. And he was like, would you mind if I get a photo in front of like the blue star? I was like, oh, yeah, sure. So like, I've taken a photo and my mum and dad said that the lads opposite were like, who's that like? Who should she be? And then they literally went, excuse me, who is she?
So and you're Georgian. Yeah.
And then my mum was like, oh, and they, my mum knew that I would be like, why have you said anything? Like,
because she's proud.
Yeah, yeah. My mum was like, oh, she's captain of the women's team. And then, like, I sat back down and I was, like, not embarrassed. This isn't me telling everyone to leave me alone or anything like that. But, like, I just think it's funny sometimes because I'm like, oh, as if someone wants a photo with me. And then all three of them were laughing a little bit. And then my mum was like, you better get something healthy now. And I was like, I would anyway, mum. Like, I'm 32. Mum, thanks. But she's the best. And we were just laughing. And I was like... It's mad how much things have changed here. And he, again, was saying and showing me his daughter's called Olivia and she comes to all the games. And I'm just like, in a day, four or five dads have been like my daughter. And I'm just like, that's class.
That is cool.
Like,
that is cool.
Yeah.
Do you ever get any grief on the flip side of it? You know, there's the positivity. Do you ever get any grief? I suppose football attracts some negativity. But is that limited to the men's game?
Do you know what? Either I have and haven't paid attention to it, or I haven't and I'm going to jinx myself or whatever. But, like, no, I haven't.
That's great.
And
yeah.
You get the typical questions when someone finds out you play football or assumptions, shall I say. But actually, the questions have changed, to be fair. The questions have really changed and, like, the attitude towards it seemed to have changed as well. Now, I mean, there are people out there that like to use their time to... create grief and stuff like that, but if that's what makes them happy, then crack on. But no, I don't even want to say fortunate because that makes it sound like I deserve the grief, but yeah, I haven't.
And do you get much interaction with fans on social media?
Yeah, get loads of nice comments and support and things like that. I would say to everyone, like, I am sorry, but we have like that message request thing and a lot of it goes into there, so I don't see certain stuff till later. Sometimes I get like requests and I'm like, oh, I missed that one. Or I just don't see them, but we do. And our fans are amazing. And just the way they travel, like last season, we had 5,000 on buses to Man United, and Man United manager and players were like, this is the best away fans we've ever had. And they play in WSL and they've played like big teams. So that's class. But I just really think you can't get football fans like Geordies.
I agree. I absolutely agree. So just to wrap up, thinking about your future, you know, a few years' time, hopefully a good few more years, but how do you think you might be able to leverage your brand for the next chapter once you retire from professional football?
I feel like I've got a few ideas and got a few things going on. So I'm going to be a qualified counsellor for talking therapies this summer. I'm on the fifth year of my education with that. But before that, I did have a psychology degree. So... working around like sports psychology, mental health, counselling, and doesn't always have to be sports. I do want to do other bits with that. Look into probably work in environments and look at companies, high performance environments, things like that, about what they're creating, the environment, the help, the support, how to kind of get the best out of people and work with the mind a little bit more than we do, I think, because, you know, everything's always about doing and do it the best you can and stuff like that. But are we actually nurturing that environment and people? I'm an ambassador for the foundation, which is amazing.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, because obviously I'm a big fan of the Newcastle United Foundation. Tell us about what your involvement is there.
It's just unreal. If you look at the names that are involved, so at the moment, the ambassadors, and it's just funny, like, it's myself, Dan Burnham, Sean Longstaff, and then you've got their legend ambassadors like Shola Ramiobi, Steve Harper. And it's just like, honestly, the work they do is incredible. You said you went to the foundation dinner as well, and it's like one of those nights that you're like, better put waterproof mascara on, because of like the stories are really.
Oh my God. Well, that's what got me to bid for that dinner.
Yeah. They're so true as well.
Like, and seeing the stories, and for context for anyone listening that's perhaps not local or not based in the UK, this is the charity arm of the football club and doing amazing work across the Northeast around football and employability and all sorts of really great things. To use football for good, really, isn't it? I mean, is that a good way of describing it? But some of the stories that we saw at this dinner were just heartbreaking, you know, like children that had lost their parents and were in, you know, really horrific situations and, you know, against the odds kind of had found their way to the foundation and were getting support and able to, you know, have some joy in their life. I mean, that sounds a bit basic, but it was more than that. It's like, it's transformational in terms of some of the experiences that they were showing. And I, you know, as a mum, I was watching it thinking, oh my God, you know, that could be my child. And it really, you know, I was in tears. Those six videos, I think, and I think I was in tears for four of them.
Yeah, honestly, like, we always get the stuff about being, like you said, like being like role models or inspiring and making a difference in the world and stuff like that. But honestly, when you go to those events, you're like, how am I inspiring? Like, this is the true inspiration around Newcastle and like the charity arm of Newcastle, like you said, the foundation is like, go in there, meet some people. And it's just amazing what they do. Like you said, you had the young girl that lost both her parents. The other one, that the young lady that came over from Ukraine, from the war, and she's up here and she's alone. There's like another girl that came over, couldn't speak a word of English, and now she's in full-time employment. But the work isn't just for, also for context, like, I know you'll understand, but the work isn't just football. Like, oh, you want to play football, kick a ball. Like, they do loads of like employability stuff. Oh, the support they have is honestly out of this world. And I truly, like, I'm honoured and privileged to be part of it, and something that I will do my very best in to help as much as possible.
It's amazing. I think that doing amazing things across the region and beyond. Well, it's been awesome to chat to you today, Amber. Thanks for being on the show. If anyone that is listening isn't already connected to you or following you in some way, where is the best place for them to find you?
Instagram is Amber Stobbs Simple. I'm on X, but tend to not spend too much time on that nowadays, but that's AK Stobbs. But thank you so much for your time today as well, and it's an honour to be on here, so I appreciate that.
Awesome, thank you. Thank you for listening. If you're serious about growing your profile, take our free profile assessment quiz to see where you're at right now and get hints and tips on how to improve your score. You'll find the link to the quiz in the show notes. If you've enjoyed the episode, it would be mint if you'd subscribe, like, and leave a review. See you next Monday.